We're up to Simon. We're ending Hilchos Eruv Beit Chomim. We'll be learning Siv Gimel Dalet Hey. I'm going to go briefly through it, and then we're going to be starting Be'ezer Hashem Hilchos Rosh Chodesh in a few minutes. So, just to complete this Simon, the halacha is discussed as follows. The second line on page Reish Pei Aleph. Ze shamanu sheish lo le'arev shnei eruvin b'shnei ruchos l'shnei yom. That we learned that you've got to make an eruv. That you can make an eruv for two different directions on 2 days Yom Tovim. You can make two eruv in two different directions for the 2 days. One day you go in the east, second day you go to the west. So that's fine. Hu she'elo efshelo le'agia l'chol echad m'shnei eruvim b'yom rishon. This is provided that you can reach both places on the first day. However, avol im efshelo le'agia l'eruv shel yom sheni b'yom rishon ein eruv sheni eruv. But imagine you'd put one on the very, very extreme east. And one of the extreme west, yeah? Yeah, I believe I did, yes. Yeah. But if you placed one on the very extreme east and one bit of food on the very extreme west, and there is more than 2,000 amas between them, you've got a problem. It must be edible, and this won't be edible. Since he cannot reach it, when second night comes in, he cannot reach, because it's more than 2,000 amas, he can't reach it. So therefore, it's not ro'i, and therefore, it's not a valid eruv. Ketzad. Hope with the example, as discussed, if you place it more than 2,000 amas, basically from your house, imagine this is obviously talking about not in a city, so it's just literally in a house, 2,000 amas to the east, and you relied on this eruv for the first day, but if you place it, it was further away, even one amma, more than 2,000 ammas, then the second one won't be an eruv. If you cannot reach it, because it's more than 2,000 ammas, therefore, it's not an eruv. If one was placed 1,500 amas and the other one 500 amas, you relied on him for the second day, as eruv that would be considered an eruv, because you can't reach it. So again, the point being, I can say it in one sentence. Shulchan Aruch spends a whole page on it, but I think I can say it in one sentence. We spoke about two eruvin. On 2 days Yom Tovim, one day you want to go to the east, one day you want to go to the west. So he said you can do that, which is true. You can one day have an eruv to the east and one day to the west. That's perfectly in order, provided there is not more than 2,000 amas in between. Why? Because if it is more than 2,000 amas in between, then it would be considered not roi, that you can't access it, because on the first day, the eruv was the one on the east, and that one is more than 2,000 amas for the one on the west. So you can't reach it. You can't reach it, because again, eruv means this is your dwelling place, this is your place, and you only go 2,000 amas. If therefore the second eruv, which you're relying for the second day, is more than 2,000 amas, then it's not going to work, it won't be valid. If it's within 2,000 amas from each other, then it's fine. And we're not looking at the house where you actually live, because that's obviously not relevant, because you did make an eruv. Siv Dalet teaches us, Yom Kippur Maru Keshabbos. Yom Kippur is like Shabbos. Whether it's for Eruv Tchumim or Eruv Chatzeres, you must have an Eruv for Yom Kippur. And finally, Yom Tov Nyoig Boi Eruv Tchumim. That's an interesting one, actually, because there is a Chiddush over here. Yom Tov Nyoig Boi Eruv Tchumim, Avlo Eruv Chatzeres. With regards to Yom Tov, do you need to have an Eruv for Yom Tov? It's a very interesting statement made by Shulchan Aruch over here. Yom Tov, do you need an Eruv? So Shulchan Aruch says, yes, you do need an Eruv Tchumim, but you not need an Eruv Chatzeres. It's a question here. So again, Eruv Tchumim you do need. We discussed that extensively. That if you want to go on Yom Tov to Stan, more you want to go to Bom, what do you want to go to? You have to have an Eruv on Yom Tov as well. Pesach, you need to have an Eruv. Why? Because you cannot walk more than 2,000 amas even on Yom Tov. Agreed? What about Eruv Chatzeres with regards to the courtyard?
Because it's Banu Lachon Nefesh, right? That's why they don't need it.
Oh, there's even more than... Good, you're right. You're ultimately right. But which Issa, ultimately, when you're talking about Eruv Chatzeres, what is the potentially the Issa, the issue? It's about It's not about walking, but it's about cooking. Well, Erev Chatzeres is really about carrying in the Chatzah. Is there a problem of carrying in the Chatzah? Is there a problem of carrying on Yom Tov?
Yeah.
Because you're right, because of the Oichal Nefesh discussion. So so that's why Shulchan Aruch tells us you don't have to have ever make an Erev Chatzeres because you're allowed to carry on Yom Tov. You have to have an Erev Tchumim, but you not need to have an Erev. But there's a question on that. Pardon? Oh, very good. Not about certain distance, but certain... You can't always carry on Yom Tov. That's right. Absolutely. And that's what Mishnah Berurah actually qualifies the Shulchan Aruch. And he said, it's interesting. Shulchan Aruch just says, you don't need to have chatzeres. It's not always true. It's not always true you don't need to have chatzeres because at times you mustn't carry and therefore you do need an Erev Chatzeres. And that's what Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkot Lamed Aleph, the first wide line. Because generally there's no Yisrael Tzor. However, you should also include Yom Tov because there are things that you may not carry on Yom Tov either. And therefore it makes sense when you make an Erev Chatzeres, have Yom Tov in mind as well. Like this, it makes it easier to carry everything and anything, because generally speaking, it's not a generic rule that you do not need Erev Chatzeres on Yom Tov, because there are things you're not allowed to carry on Yom Tov. Okay, and with this we have completed B'siyat Dishmaya, all the halachas with regards to walking and carrying on Shabbos. Bukhshim, we started quite a while ago. When did we start, Chaim? Do you keep track? When did we start Chelek Dalet?
Chelek Dalet, wow.
When did we start Chelek Dalet?
The same was in over a year ago.
We started on time.
We started on time, yes. Okay, so now I do not fully understand why Hilchos Chodesh end up in Chelek Dalet, because as an easy way of remembering is that Chelek Gimel is Hilchos Shabbos, and Chelek Dalet is all about Chelek Dalet starts about all the halachas of Eruvim, how to make an Eruv Shittim Vos, Eruv Chatzeres, and then we moved on to Eruv Tchumim. Now Hilchos Chodesh is the very very tail end of Chelek Dalet, and really it would make sense once you hit Chelek Hei. Chelek Hei is Hilchos Pesach, and then Chelek Vav is Yom Tov. So somehow it would fit nicely in that. I don't know what, but it is. It's not a modern invention that he ended up in Chelek. It was always.
Where was that?
Yeah. I see. Perhaps that's how he ended up. Yeah. So I don't know. It's interesting. Maybe it is. So it's interesting that it somehow it would have been very neat if it ends up, but. Yeah, that's what it is. Certainly, in context of Hilchos Pesach, it makes sense that you need to know Hilchos Rosh Chodesh before you reach the Yom Tovim, because Rosh Chodesh is the root of everything. And that really leads perhaps to a bit of introduction to Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, B'siyat Dishmaya. So Hilchos Rosh Chodesh are fascinating halachas. We're going to speak about what is and is not allowed on Rosh Chodesh. We'll be talking a little bit about Yalev Yovai. Not a little bit, we'll talk about Yalev Yovai. We'll be talking about... The important halachas of Halal on Rosh Chodesh and all the and everything which is associated to it. There's also halachas about how to be koveh and fix the luach, which is at the very end. We'll be talking about that as well, b'in Hashem. But I must say that it is fascinating, the whole concept of Rosh Chodesh. We look at Rosh Chodesh as quite a low, because it comes up every month, obviously, so we look at it. But the mice, if you look in the Torah, there's a lot of psukim in the Torah which tells us the halachas, you know, about the korbanos on Rosh Chodesh. There's quite a lot discussed with regards to Rosh Chodesh, the korban Rosh Chodesh, many psukim which tell us about the halachas of Rosh Chodesh, the korbanos of Rosh Chodesh. And more importantly, even the very first mitzvah that Klal Yisrael had, the very first mitzvah that Klal Yisrael had when he was leaving Mitzrayim, I should say, was the mitzvah of HaChodesh Hazel Lachem, of Kviyas Rosh Chodesh, of making Rosh Chodesh, of fixing and establishing a date of Rosh Chodesh. If you haven't got Rosh Chodesh, you don't know when is Pesach, you don't know when is Sukkot, you don't know when is Shavuos. HaChodesh Hazel Lachem, this month, the fixing of a Luach, the establishing of Rosh Chodesh, is the very first mitzvah Klal Yisrael had. So the question that the Mefarshim ask is that, why is this such a key mitzvah? Understand, is a technical element of it, and a practical aspect that you've got to know when Rosh Chodesh is. But in a more hashkafetic approach, what do we see in the Klal Yisrael was just about to leave Mitzrayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't even leave a minute, and he says, okay, here's the first mitzvah. Here, Klal Yisrael, nation, the first mitzvah I'm giving you, the very first mitzvah, before Shabbos, before any, Aseret, before any, Rosh Chodesh. Because they know it's Chodesh. Why?
Because so many other mitzvahs are
Tolu Bizman. All right. Tolu Bizman. Okay, I agree with that. And my second answer is going to go very close to that. My first answer is, what is the Yisrael of Rosh Chodesh? We'll know we are Klal Yisrael as compared to the moon. And famously, why are we compared to the moon?
Renewal,
that's right. It goes up, it goes down, it goes up, it goes down. And that's something which is as opposed to the sun, as opposed to... He goes up, and the Klal Yisrael was told, okay, you've got to know, there's going to be ups, there's going to be downs, there's going to be ups, there's going to be downs. It's going to be, it's not even, life is never even. So I'm telling you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Eden, I'm telling you now, you're my nation, and you're going to have challenges. At times it will go smooth, and at times not so smooth. And before anything, and before any other mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was meramis to this, by giving the mitzvah of Chodesh, of comparing ourselves to the moon, to know that as a collective mitzvah, Klal Yisrael, to know that it's going to be ups and downs. If you don't know that, it's hard to proceed to the other 613 mitzvahs. The second point is that, a little bit to what you're referring to, and why Rosh Chodesh being the first mitzvah, I seem to remember I heard this years ago, that Chodesh is alechem, maybe Rav Shimshon Penker says, or maybe somebody else, says that Rosh Chodesh identifies and tells us and teaches us the sort of time. A month goes very quickly. Have you noticed? A month goes quickly. Do you remember? A month is like, goes in a flat. Years go past very fast. But Rosh Chodesh, so Kosh Baruch Hu tells us, if you want to be an Elech Yid, now you're becoming my nation, now you're becoming a Yiddish nation, you've got to know something. The first mitzvah I'm giving you is time. Watch the time. Watch it. Watch it. Make sure you understand and you appreciate and you value. It could even be that it is. You value time. You have to value time. You value a day, value a week, value a month. HaChodesh is Elachem, the first mitzvah that Klal Yisrael has been given in the time, is the importance of time. And this is, of course, just a little bracket. You know, there's a minig of giving chosn watch. I'll never forget this. It was the first musa lesson I got from my Shver. Why does a chosn get a chosn or golden watch? Yeah, because watch comes with a message. You know, chosn, the minig is that a chosn gets from his kala, gets a golden watch. So he said, you know, you better watch the time. You know, if you don't know what time is about, you're going to run into trouble. And having said this, Rabbi Yisrael, Rosh Chodesh Simon Tov Yud Zayin Uvoi Seif Echad. It's one of those simonim in Shulchan Aruch that merely have one seif. And here's the halacha. Rosh Chodesh Muta Besiyas Melacha. Rosh Chodesh in principle is permitted of Melacha. You learn to do Melachas in Rosh Chodesh. However, V'anoshim Shenoya Goyish Shaloi Lassip Melacha, the women who have the custom not to do Melachos. Yes, there are women who have a custom not to do melachos. Who minik toiv? This is a good minik. Now, there is a fascinating bialacha, which we're not going to look inside. The bialacha claims that this minik, it's shoyrish, the root of this minik, of the women not doing melachos, it actually has got a toiret midraisa element of it. What is the minik? What it includes? That may be only a minik. But the actual idea and the concept of women refraining from doing some halachas, could be the root of it is medayin raisa. Could be. The Ramo adds to this, v'im hamine glasses miktas halachas, if the custom is to do some halachas, v'lo lasus k'tason, some halachas you do allow, some halachas you do not allow, if that's the custom, hazlin on bas hamine will go according to the minik. Before we look at the Mishneh Berurah, gentlemen, any of you have got mothers, wives, sisters, daughters who refrain from doing melachas on Rosh Chodesh? I'm not talking about there are women who don't sewing. Do this. Sewing. Not to do sewing. Yeah, is that accepted? Yeah, is that what? Your wives? No sewing? Yeah, okay, I think that's quite common. Yeah. Yes, very good. Is that in which school? Where is that? Privately on Rosh Chodesh, you want to have. That's right. Yes, absolutely. So that is a very common minig, and I would even argue that perhaps this is something which is a commonly established minig, that women will refrain from sewing on Rosh Chodesh. On Rosh Chodesh. What happens if it's 2 days of Rosh Chodesh? So Mishneh Berurah speaks in great detail about it. It goes mainly about the second day of Rosh Chodesh. It's mainly about the second day of Rosh Chodesh. But some refrain both days of Rosh Chodesh. Anything else about washing? Washing? Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh washing? Wash. Yeah. Very good. That's exactly where I was about to go now. There is a great discussion in early generations post-Kim about washing. Some say the minig is to refrain, some say You don't have to make. But Avozna says in the tshuva, he said, that's all very fine and good when you do it with your, when it's the old and that old, the traditional way. Nowadays, that all you do is pressing a button. He says that minhag doesn't come into it. There's no minhag to refrain from doing, because it's just a matter of pressing a button, or perhaps a couple of buttons, and perhaps you also have to turn it a little. But that's not included in the minhag. So Avozna says that even if traditionally the minhag of washing was included, certainly when it comes to a machine operated, that wouldn't be included in the minhag nowadays. Let us see Mishnah Bosef Cotton Halef. Rosh Chodesh, four lines from the bottom. Rosh Chodesh. Minhag had mineinu levorech sachodesh b'shabbos lifnei Rosh Chodesh. There is an ancient minhag to do birkas sachodesh on the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh, which we call Shabbos Mavochim. Rosh Chodesh benching. Shabbos Mavochim. That is a minhag. It's not a halacha, it's a minhag. Chutz. Minifnei Rosh Chodesh tish. The only one. Look how beautiful it is. We are straight. It's Mamash in Yonah de Yoyme. There's only once a year that we don't do Rosh Chodesh benching. And that is on, that's on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. We don't do Rosh Chodesh benching. Have you thought of that? We only do 11 times. We didn't, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, we won't do that. The Remez Lazer, and this is, the Remez that is Bekese Liyoyim Chageinu, which literally means Bekese, hidden Liyoyim Chageinu, to the day of our Yom Tov, which is referring to Rosh Hashanah. So it is never a Rosh Chodesh benching with regards to Halef Tish, which is Rosh Hashanah. There isn't. V'yej Mekoymos, there's also a custom, Sheinoyagin Eber Rosh Chodesh Av. With regards to Menachem Av, we also don't. Meshum Shor Chodesh Al-Pon is because it's a month full of a negativity. There's problems and punishments in the Shchedesh. Is that the minhag generally, Rabbi Yisai? Menachem Av. Have you ever heard of it? No, so I've never actually encountered that. I think that generally the minhag is nowadays. No, Shchedesh benching on Menachem Av? I think we do generally. But Mishnah Berurah says there is such a minhag. Yeah.
If you forget to do Shchedesh benching, can you do it?
Till Rosh Chodesh. Till Rosh Chodesh.
You can do it any day.
Till Rosh Chodesh, yeah.
Do you need a minhag on Rosh Chodesh?
Don't need a minhag. Don't need a minhag.
And on Rosh Chodesh itself?
On itself, probably. No, I don't know. I doubt it. I never heard of it. I don't know you can do it until Rosh Chodesh. I never heard that you can do it on Rosh Chodesh. It defeats the purpose.
Why?
Because the purpose of Rosh Chodesh, the idea is to, the idea of Birkas HaChodesh is to announce and to proclaim and to publicize when Rosh Chodesh is falling. When it is. That's the whole idea. Together with the added bracha to it. And that would make sense once it's Rosh Chodesh. The whole idea is to publicize and communicate. It is not like Kiddush HaChodesh Mamash, like an earlier generation. As Mishnah Berurah says over here, the idea is to communicate to the people. Mosai, when Yochel Rosh Chodesh, when Rosh Chodesh is falling. Ve'ezoru b'chol Yochel Rosh Chodesh, and should be careful, and you should know, and you should note when Rosh Chodesh is, and consequently be careful and know all the relevant halachas. So it's about communicating when Rosh Chodesh is, and therefore Rosh Chodesh benching is generally done on Shabbat. I want to say, let's just finish this Mishnah over here. Mikol Makon, nevertheless, Nagu Lamoid B'Shas Amir Rosh Chodesh Ploini. The meaning is generally to stand when the Chazan says Rosh Chodesh Menachem Av Yibro in Ploini. The custom is to stand. Tukmas Kiddush HaChodesh Yom HaUmah, just like it was in the Beis HaMikdash, when they sanctified Rosh Chodesh, they used to stand. That's a halacha, that's a mishnah. So similarly also, nowadays when we, to some extent, we also proclaim, we publicize when Rosh Chodesh is, the meaning is also to stand. There is a bit of a mystery around this Birkas HaChodesh. Can I just have Mishnah doesn't mention it, but I saw many poskim are bothered about that, and it is, if you think about it, it is a bit of an enigma. The Nusach of Birkas HaChodesh that we have, how does it work? Okay, how does it work? Yeah, so we start with Yotzon, and then we say Yotzon Lefanecha Hashem Elokeinu Lekavu Sinish Tchadu Shenis HaChodesh Zeh Letoivu Livracha. Okay, and then after this, Misha Osanisim Lavu Sin Vugalo Yisam Avdus Lecherus, and then what do we say? Rosh Chodesh. So and so, here Beyoim. So and so, right. Prior to that, you want us to announce, that's very important, that's key, that the Gabba has to announce when Rosh Chodesh is actually falling, so and so many, on this day, and so many Chalokim. And it's all about that. That's really the main element, the part that is said often in Yiddish, to know and to publicize when Rosh Chodesh is. Once we know when Rosh Chodesh is, then we say Mishal Sunisim and Yichatshar Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, Asudoch Shulchan is very busy, and it's quoted in a contemporary poskim. This Yirotzen sounds very interesting, because what do we say? We say, V'sitin lonu chayim aruchim, Hashem shebenesh us with long life, chayim shel sholem, life of peace, of toiva, of bracha, Hashem shebenesh us with panosa, etc., etc., etc. What is strange about that? What is bizarre about that? Thinking about the day of the week that we're actually saying this.
Sounds like a bakasha.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100% right. This is an ultimate bakasha. Now, yeah, that's what we're saying. Please, Hashem, give us a month of bracha, of peace, of panosa, of we shouldn't be no embarrassments and no. This is an ultimate. Remember that we don't do private we don't do bakoshes in the first place on Shabbos. Chazal took away Anshe Knesset Gedolah took away the Shemoneh Esrei precisely for that reason. Regular weekday Shemoneh Esrei was taken away in order not to say bakoshes such like this. We don't say Atochoinein, we don't say Boicholeinu, we don't say all those beautiful part of the Shemoneh Esrei, and all those, why? Because these are, as you're saying, they are bakoshes. Avrachman is not really, a bakosha, no. So it sounds very bizarre. And Och Shulchan says, Luya Shekoichi, if I had the power, which he didn't, he questions this paragraph, and he said it's astonishing that we say it nowadays. And he says if he had the power, he would actually cancel off. He didn't, but he said if you go. Now, just to finish off, Rav Yashi was approached about this Och Shulchan. He wasn't approached, obviously he knew this Och Shulchan. And he said he's got a Kabbalah, very interesting. The Rav Yashi said he's got Kabbalah, he's got Masoyah, he's got tradition, that any tefillah which is said with Kavanah shouldn't be challenged. Any tefillah which is said in a public forum with great kavana and good one should never question that and shouldn't be challenged. And therefore he says, Yidden are saying Yirotzen with great kavana, and people are meaning it with all their heart, they should have a good month, therefore one should stay put and one should continue saying it. But I think the question is a very, very valid question. Yeah.
And what's the point of Rosh Hashanah when you ask, when everything's decided in Rosh Hashanah, and after your health, and every month you're asking this?
Okay, it's a good question, but let's this is not Rosh Chodesh related, so let's leave this out for now. But it is a fair question. Many before Hashem asked, Bale Musa asked that question. So I said, with regards to the Rosh Chodesh benching, there's also a discussion with regards to holding the Sefer Torah. It is the minute to hold the Sefer Torah. What happens if there is no Sefer Torah because it's in a different minion? So let's say very practical terms. If we've got two minyanim, one is the Ashkama minyan, and they're using the Sefer Torah, and let's say the main minyan hasn't got another Sefer Torah. Okay, let's just, for argument's sake, it's quite, you know. So we have to wait, and they're up to, and we want to start opening up the vice versa. The question is, do you have to wait for the Sefer Torah in order to say the Yotzen? You have to wait for a Sefer Torah. So let's change that, tweak that to what I said earlier. What would be the case? The case would be that up there's a later minion, a 10 o'clock minion, and they're waiting for the laning to finish. do you need to wait until they finish and get a Sefer Torah, or do you want to just say the Yirotzen and be like the Rosh Chodesh benching without a Sefer Torah? Is there a real need for it, yes or no? Techa Tzibur. So whilst the argument of Techa Tzibur is a very good argument, we see that in Gemara Megillah that sometimes Techa Tzibur is literally minutes. However, the Abraham Kanevsky paskins that one has to be adamant about having a Sefer Torah during Shchadish benching because one must, because it gives it a serious. It's part of the. As we just learned now, that it is a bit comparable to Dugmas Kiddush HaChodesh Yom HaUmot. Like Kiddush HaChodesh in Beis HaMikdash was a serious matter, and that's why we need to have a Sefer Torah, and therefore it is essential to have a Sefer Torah, and you can't do it without, even if there's an element of Tichel Tzibur. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky is quoted of... Pardon?
Even though he said before,
you don't need a minion, yes. Interesting, yeah? Yeah, you don't need a minion, but you do need a... Interesting, Taka, interesting. Yeah.
If you're saying by Achilles, you'd take a Sefer Torah and hold it where you said it? Or?
If what? If?
You were doing it by Achilles.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. You're right, you wouldn't. Yeah, it's a good point. So if you say bechidus, you're talking bechidus. So I suppose that the correct way of stating it would be that if you say if your iron is in a minion, then you've got to have a sefer Torah. Yeah, that's probably the proper way of saying it. Yeah. Now, the feminists will be very impressed of this Mishnah Berurah here. The feminists, any feminists, any feminists? Okay, because there is a Mishnah Berurah here. What about we said there's a we discussed there's a minig of not doing melacha. It's talking about noshim. Noshim nagush lalas melacha. So what about men? What if a man decides, okay, I'm also not doing melachas. Not on shchad. She's not washing up. All right. So she's not sewing. Okay. So I'm not. I'm not taking the rubbish. That's right. Yeah. It's you've got to be tit for tat kind of. You know, she's not sewing my button. She's not sorting. So I'm not. She's not doing the washing. I'm not doing the rubbish. So says the Mishnah once of cotton base. Unfortunately, it will not work. No, an acceptable taina. But if the men want to have the custom of refraining from doing melachas, on Rosh Chodesh that is, ends a minik, that's not a minik. So if you don't do melachas the whole month, that's okay. But if you just pick Rosh Chodesh, that won't work. Yeah, that won't work. Okay, now what is the reason? We haven't even discussed what is the background and the reason for not doing melachas. Why do women refrain from doing melachas and Rosh Chodesh? Says the Mishnah Berurah Seif Katan Gimel, Hu Minek Toiv, Lefishloi Pokun Izmein Lo Egel. Okay, going back to the Chet HaEgel. What happened with the women on Chet HaEgel? What did they do? They did not give the jewelry. Yeah? Lefi, because Loi Pokun Izmein Lo Egel. They didn't take away their jewelry for the golden calf. Therefore, they were rewarded. Nitelem Rosh Chodesh Liyom Tov. Rosh Chodesh was given to them as a festival. There's other additional reasons brought down in Eliyahu. But the main reason which is halachically quoted is because of that. Now, I do not recall, I remember I looked up once, I don't recall what is the connection between Chet HaEgel and Rosh Chodesh. Yes, what's the... Correct. Aaron Rosh Chodesh, that's what it is. Very good. That's what it is. Very good. Okay. So here we go. Pardon? Nobody makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. Very good. There's more than that?
Yeah, definitely.
Chet HaEgel. My question is, what is it? Understand they were rewarded and understand that they got...
Well, no, the Chet HaEgel was taken away from... It's meant to be that the eldest or something was given to the Kohanim, to the Levim. Something to do with that.
Okay. And therefore...
It's talking about in months, I don't know, there's some, yes,
something. Okay, well, what do you tell, Naftali?
There's a Rashi Megillah.
What does he say?
That because the Noshim didn't do Chet HaEgel, they'll also have an action to the Rashi Megillah.
Okay, sounds interesting. Okay, I'd love to see it. Because what we are seeing over here is that... That they deserved a day of Rosh Chodesh because they didn't do Chet HaEgel. If you don't do Chet HaEgel, you get a Rosh Chodesh. Why Rafka Rosh Chodesh? I don't know. Okay, v'yesh ein, yeah, ein bi'alocha. And a, yeah, now the bi'alocha, the Mishnah Berurah in Seif Katan Dalet speaks extensively about the minhag of Yom Kippur Katan. Yom Kippur Katan being a fairly recent, it's not a minhag, how should we call it? A fairly recent addition. Yeah, let's call it addition. Of just like on, just every month is like a unit on its own. So therefore it makes sense that you do Kapor and Tshuva before Rosh Chodesh. Like every year has got its own cycle and circle. So similarly, a Chodesh also should have a circle, a cycle of Teshuvah. Therefore, there is a what do you say? An addition of perhaps a minhag of Yom Kippur Katan fasting and asking for Teshuvah on before the new month of Rosh Chodesh. It does say that it is considered a Tainus Yochid, not a Tainus Tzibur, and on Teshuvah Mekabel Tainus prior to that, if one wishes to fast. Right, okay, Rabbi Yisai, these are the points covered. Let's just summarize the halachas of Rosh Chodesh, which we covered today. We learned that Rosh Chodesh is in principle mutter to do melachos. The minhag of the women is to refrain from doing some melachos. If that is the minhag, one should adhere to, one should stick to it. It is a correct and a proper minhag, at least for the women, we learned. We spoke about the concept of benching the Chodesh and announcing the Chodesh on Shabbos prior to Rosh Chodesh. We learned you've got to do it with a Sefer Torah. You do it on every month, excluding which month? Tishrei. And the purpose for that is to announce, proclaim, and inform when Rosh Chodesh is actually taking place. The meaning is to stand for that. We learned also that the reason why women refrain from doing Malachos on Rosh Chodesh is because they didn't do Chet Ha'egel. And finally, we learned that there is a concept of Yom Kippur Katan, which is considered a Tainus Yochid, not Tainus Tzibah. And the Makor for that is a Marik, I believe, a Maram Kolkodova, which introduces concept of Yom Kippur Katan. These are the halachos discussed tonight, and we shall continue B'ez Hashem tomorrow with Simtov Yud Ches. Good evening.